And there we go. Welcome to SharePoint Weekly, episode 63. It is night of December, the week after ESPC. That's what's happening. And my home office is under maintenance. That's why I don't have a long table. That's why my screens are over there.
And that for people who listen to us and who don't watch the recording, Vesa misses half of his desk.
Yes.
There is the gaping hall where he used to have desk. Now there is like a meter gap between where his desk stops and the wall.
Yes. Anything else, Matthew, want to explain what's happening here?
Do we care to ask why?
No. We're doing Windows maintenance. Anyway, or changing all of the Windows, which was always fun. Anyway, let's actually get concentrated. So welcome. This is SharePoint Weekly. My name is Sasa Juvonen. And on other side of the room or in the video feed, we have Waldeck MasterCards from Rencor.
Yes, unless you're listening to us and there is no video feed.
No, I'm trying to explain. The room, if even though they would be just listening, it doesn't work like this. Come on. Okay,
we have a lot of fun.
Yes, we almost even had a visitor today, but unfortunately there was a snow accident in Norway, apparently, which was blocking the flights and something like that. And basically the visitor unable to join. So we'll have him hopefully next Monday. We'll see how it goes. We're closing into the Christmas as well, which is awesome. Finally, some time actually taking off. It's been a really, 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 really busy weeks, at least for me. Except yeah. Friday was Independence Day of Finland, but it was off. So anyway. What you been up to? You were not in the ESPC last week.
No, I wasn't. I was holding the door here in the home office.
What?
No, your movies. Anyway, hold the door. Anyway, so I was here. I was building some things. Then I was experimenting with some other things. So the good news is, well, we have some things going on. Not much has changed. I will be still doing a lot out of that.
Yeah.
To give a little insight what we're thinking of now at work. So we want to spend some more time thinking about what can we do in terms of code analysis in SPFX. Because we hear, and that surprised me, over the past weeks, I talked to a few customers that we have about the need for code analysis. And many of these folks have background in the days where we would build farm solution, DLLs, deploy them to farms, and anything that, if there was anything wrong in these DLLs, like that could have a huge impact on the whole farm. I mean, it could break down the whole farm.
Yeah, exactly. There was a few clever ways of actually doing that. I did a exercise, I have to say, before you explain it. In MCM, I was at some point doing some of the final exam thing, and one of the final exam thing was that there was a broken WSP, and you needed to figure out what's actually wrong, because there is a way of taking down the whole farm, and just with a WSP, wrongly formatted WSP package.
Only one?
Only one.
Okay, so
multiple ways of actually doing that. Yeah. But there's a one really nice way which doesn't actually even reboot. And Azure, the application balls keeps on rebooting. Which is
okay. I think I'm not sure if that was WSP or there was some other server product, but I think I recall there was, or maybe I'm just mixing things up. Like there was a way to force blue screen.
Oh, that's interesting.
There was. So that's coming back from the days. I think that was related to Exchange, because why? If you would have Exchange all over the world,
yep.
And imagine that one of the nodes would be affected, and it would then propagate the faulty on thing across the world.
Yep.
So you obviously want to force stop that so that it stops, so that it won't push these updates. Yep. So there was a way to force blue screen on the product. Basically, interesting.
Yeah. Well, I have to explain what was the way of actually breaking down the whole farm, because it's actually really interesting as well. So if you have a malformed resex file, which is getting deployed to the app, what is it, the application called by resources folder in the IIS, what will happen is that the application pool starts compiling the resex file to an assembly, because that's how it actually works. So it compiles that to the memory, but it can't. So basically what happens is that the whole process falls down, and then it starts again. And it falls down, and it starts.
Wow.
It doesn't even respond any. So the whole application pool is down. So you're like, how can you actually make this happen?
Yeah, you're just like,
Exactly. But anyway, that's a good example why farm solutions were super, 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 super terrifying, because just by an accident, you can actually tear down the farms completely.
So. Exactly. Anyway, so over the course of weeks, like going back to my original point, yeah. I talked to customers.
Oh, you had a point.
Yes, I was going to it. And basically,
can
we
I interrupt
came to the
you
point.
More?
Yes, of course, anytime. Where they would be like, okay, so now that we built code that runs only in browser, is there a need to analyze it at all? It seems that many, many people in the community have the notion that, well, because there is nothing running on your servers, there is no need,
to
check the code for anything, yeah. Right? And I mean, like, if you ask me, that is not further from the truth than it can be, because there are other things that can affect your, I mean, even every employee in company.
Yep.
Because it can bring a whole web page to a halt, and then nobody can do anything, right? So sure, it won't bring down the farm, but it will still prevent people from
accessing
doing the work.
The information. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
It will bring down the business, basically, because
exactly.
It can't do the work.
Exactly. It just in a different way. So you cannot really say, well, we used to do this, and now we cannot do that, so we're all fine. Well, not really, because there are 10 other things you can do now, which you couldn't do then.
Yeah.
So it's just a different state. But it was interesting. It was interesting to me to learn that people think that way. That apparently that's the premise or the idea that people currently have, right? That they feel more safe now that they run code in browser.
Yep.
So So we want to basically look like, okay, what other things aside from everything that what we already have can we do to help developers be more efficient, more effective, write better code on SPFX, and so forth, and so on. So
But it's an interesting dimension that you wouldn't have to worry about the quality of the code because everything is happening in the browser. Quite terrifying, actually.
Well, but I mean, it only proves the maturity or the experience that people have with this. You know, like a while back when we introduced or when you introduced SPFX. Like we went through a change, right? It was a change in tooling experience, tool chain, the way we work, everything changed, right? And apparently it still takes some time to catch up, like the recommendations, good practices, and so forth and so on. And apparently we're not there yet, or we are getting there slowly. The more people and companies adopt SPFX and start working with that beyond the hello world.
Exactly. Well, so I think it's one of those things. I think it's fair to say that SharePoint adding model, sure, it's an adding model, and it was a way of exposing websites in the SharePoint as a property hosted application, but it wasn't really, it never went to that maturity level, so to say, because it wasn't that successful. Yet there's multiple ways of nowadays already surfacing web applications in the SharePoint and in the Teams as well, and which are kind of a newer technologies or newer ways than the adding model. But then SharePoint framework is so widely used that we're getting to this point where people start thinking alternative, well, the quality things much more efficiently, which is good, which is really good.
So yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Good. For me, last week was really around the ESBC. So I flew in on Monday, flew out on Thursday evening, and then Friday was off, but ESBC, what did I have? Well, I had two sessions, multiple interviews, the keynote Thursday, and things to do. So super, super busy week. And especially for me, when I'm actually in those kind of conferences, and ESBC is a good example, you know everybody there. So you'll be chatting 24/7. So there's no way to actually get any actual work done. Because you're basically...
Unless you isolate yourself. But I mean, you also want to use fact that you're there. You're surrounded by people to hear it from them. Do they have any problems? Do they have any... Right? To learn from them. So
That's true. But there was a really nice atmosphere. I think the ESBC, even though nowadays it's SharePoint, Office 365, and Azure conference, I think it still has the same classic vibes, and the community feeling is definitely there. Not saying that the Office 365 to Azure wouldn't have community feelings, but it's the decades-old SharePoint community openness, which is actually still there as well. So it's really good to see. So.
Cool.
Good. Should we jump on the articles?
Let's do that.
Do you want to talk about any other specific things? We always talk about farm solutions and learnings and how things are changing. I think we're old, so
Well, I mean, we share the pain. Yes, still 18. Folly, huh?
Yes. No, well, let's actually jump on the articles and let's see if we come up with any other topics.
Of course we will.
That time, of course, we do. That's actually a really good set of articles this time as well. So let's actually jump on the screens. And I think I shared the right screen.
Yes.
You can see me.
Bake a cake in under one hour. Okay,
oh, that's a wrong screen. Yeah, sorry. Now, so first of all, Shape on Saturday, Charlotte is next week. And they're lucky enough to have Jeff Tepper as their keynote. And I saw that there was other speakers from Microsoft there as well. A lot of familiar faces. Naomi Monipenny is there as an example. Project Cortex lead or the team lead who's creating that from a PM side of the house. There's a lot of familiar faces, Erica, Matt, Christina. So a lot of people definitely coming. Having a Jeff Tepper as a keynote on a Shape on Saturday is typically causing a lot of interest on the Shape on Saturday as well. So there will be definitely more and more people present. I think there's actually quite a few sessions as well. So you can think about that. There's actually quite a few people arriving. Yeah. Now, cool. The second one was Shape on Saturday Istanbul, which is on next Saturday as well. The site on the SPS events doesn't actually have that much information except the location, but they do have a Shape on Saturday Istanbul explicit site where they actually talk about the content and presenters and all of that. So, looking pretty okay. Obviously, it's in Turkish, which is not definitely my language, so I can't. I don't understand that. But there has been a lot of discussions on the Shape on Saturday Istanbul in the social media as well. Good to see that there's again two overlapping Shape on Saturdays next weekend, even though we're heading to the holiday season, at least in certain areas of the world. Now, updated SharePoint framework developer training package. I pushed out this one earlier today. Just Monday, so we have a updated material. Not a massive update this time, but it's basically polishing, making sure that the material is matching what the current UI elements are and things are. And this is really, really for you to take advantage any way you want. So basically, is it 9 modules, unless I'm completely mistaken? How to get started, how to use React, how to use Office UI Fabric, how to use or extend Microsoft Teams using SharePoint framework, which is getting more and more, we have more and more features coming up on that.
Cool.
The second update, which came out today, is just the December summary. We do the December summary of the monthly, kind of a monthly summary where we talk about everything, what has happened, updated numbers, what are the most updated articles. There's actually kind of an interesting data always around the articles as well. So column formatting is the number one article and has been actually for the whole year, which is kind of interesting. And then SharePoint framework and then rest. And that's typically the balance in here. But the most important thing obviously here is the news and updates and samples, but then also the key contributors. So basically people calling out the people who contributed within the last month, with a code edits or PRs or other ways on the community side of the house. So a lot of people again here, or the companies themselves. If somebody's, by the way, wondering, our blog platform got updated and the formatting got slightly messed up. So we're working on that one, or the people in there who are hosting, taking care of the blog hosting. That's why the images are slightly different. Anyway, good summary of everything what has happened within the last month. Now, this one came out on the 2nd of December, so SharePoint roadmap pit stuff from November 2019, which is actually slightly confusing. What do we call it, November? If it came, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Because it was recorded in November?
Maybe that's the case, yeah, that could be the case, absolutely. And this is really around the fact that what's rolling out now for SharePoint and related technologies in Microsoft 365. There is a intra-zone discussion with DC Padur. DC is one of the persons who owns the SharePoint home sites. So he's the PM, owning PM behind of that. And that's one of the features which are now getting rolled out as well. So people are able to tag a one site collection as the home site, and then you're able to, if you want, you can swap that to be the root of the tenant. You don't have to. You can actually have your home site outside of the root as well. But then when it's a home site, it's more easily accessible with the home links, and the mobile client has the home site functionality and all of that. So
cool.
Save for later, really cool functionality as well. I'm using this one internally. Obviously, we have dog fooding, so we've been having this feature for quite a long time already internally. It is a really, really, really confusing.
Confusing.
That's not the right word. So in Finglish, confusing means convenient or something.
Ah! Well, there's quite a difference between something being confusing and convenient.
That it's is true.
Conveniently confusing.
Conveniently confusing. Anyway, so the whole point being on the fact that, at least in our case, as an example, in Microsoft, we have a lot of data in SharePoint and a lot of the documents and news articles and all of that. And every now and then, there's kind of a less than 10 or 5 articles which you access quite often, and it's kind of convenient to have a list of those more frequently used articles or documents as easily available for you as possible. So you can basically save them to, in quotes, favorites lists.
So two things I want to ask. So is this the same save or read for Hill Ada that we had originally in Delve? Do you know that?
I don't know that.
Okay.
I wasn't using that.
Two, if you move a file, does that move along or not?
I don't know.
Okay.
Good question. Good question. We need to double check now. Good. SharePoint and OneDrive support sensitivity labels. So these are now available. So you're able to put the sensitivity labels. And this is a capability which is getting more and more features. So you're able to then do all the data processes behind of the sensitivity labels as well. And it's getting more and more attention all the time. So there will be more automation and more capabilities behind of that.
Really cool.
Teamwork updates before Microsoft Teams. New Teams file experience is now getting rolled out. Super, super powerful as well. So the Teams files have been already stored in a SharePoint for a while, but now you can actually take advantage of truly around the SharePoint document library capabilities and additional things is coming all the time.
Nice.
Power apps for SharePoint libraries. So in the past, we supported Power Apps for lists, but not for libraries, now also for libraries.
Woohoo!
Yay! And then file card conversations. This is actually really cool. A search-based implement. Well, there's a lot of data behind of that, but it's basically when you hover over a file, it actually gives you additional details and related information from multiple sources. So
nice. And it's really cool to have, to allow you to have everything in context, right? You look at the file and you can know immediately who, what, who created, who added a conversation about it, all from a single place without you having to think twice about it.
Yeah, exactly. Really cool. Exactly. Really, really cool stuff.
Convenient. Really convenient. Not confusing. Convenient.
Yes. expand callbacks buttons on lists, so taking the full screen or not on the list level, so that's pretty cool as well. So you can actually have more space to work on the list side. Related technology project rolls out customers worldwide. The new project, which I think, this is the new project which was released right before Ignite, wasn't it? Now it's going to roll out to the customers.
Nice.
Fluid framework, public preview, and private developer preview. In the public review, users will be able to use preview experience to crowdsource, manage agendas, take notes, and all of that stuff. But basically, it's taking advantage of Fluid framework behind of the scenes. And in this scenario, as an example, we're taking the table and pasting that one to a chat in Teams and asking people to actually update the table. And it does update that to the original document, original
this
Fluid.
Brilliant.
So you're able to basically take fractions of the document and send them forward, and that's pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah, instead, because like without it, what would you do now? You would send them a link. Somebody needs to leave the application in which they are, open the link, find in the document the right piece of the thing they want to add or update, and then update that. And then, whereas now you can directly, within the context of your discussion, just update a few things, and you're done. So this is brilliant.
I absolutely agree on that one. So let's see it now goes to the preview, public preview and private developer preview. Yeah. So we'll start with a development support for this one pretty soon as well. So that's coming quite soon.
Nice.
There is a link, again, as Fluid Developer Preview, where you should go and sign up. If, by the way, you haven't signed, if you have signed up and haven't get a response yet, don't worry.
It's
people
coming.
Will get back to you. Yes. So there has been some delays of getting things moving, but you will get response back sooner or later. So request files, OneDrive. So basically, hey, I would like to have you showed me something. Can you actually upload that one in this location? That's actually pretty cool as well. So the whole point being on the fact that there's actually a nice video here, you can actually send requests for people to upload, for example, as project-related documents, and then they will get a, hey, can you link here? And then you're able to drag and drop the files in from your file system.
Ah.
Actually, pretty smart functionality as well. So. Hey, I know that you wrote notes for this meeting, or do you have that one?
Let's put them here.
Let's put them in here rather than.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Very nice. Ah.
Yeah. And private channels have their own SharePoint site collection document library. So private channels are basically having their own files, isolated files, and behind the scenes. So that's pretty cool as well. And more and more coming. More and more coming.
Woohoo! So, very nice. Ooh.
So to be fair, I think I'm not sure we will even have a December roadmap pit stop because December is the holiday season break, so to say, and things are slowing down quite significantly typically on December. So from a feature functionality perspective, but let's see. Here, and this is from Chuao, how to change the base layout on a modern SharePoint page. And this came out actually today on Monday. And this is really around the different page layouts and how you can modify them and how you can flip them. And here, it's basically just setting the different layouts using PMP PowerShell. So quite convenient and easy way of then flipping the functionality. Now, you can actually use also a Chrome SP editor for flipping the layout as well, which is actually quite cool when I think of it. So we're able to move the layout of the page using the SP Chrome editor, Chrome yeah. SP editor. Yes, that's the right way of saying it. Or SPFX application customizer. So you can flip the layouts using code as well, definitely. And that, I think we have that sample is actually from the GitHub repos or CLI. So woohoo! Multiple ways of making that happen. So quite nice summary on those ways. This one is the SharePoint library component chaining. Multiple library components part two and nice video series from David who's actually working on the quite a lot actually on the library component side. He had a really good session in Ignite related on using the library components to improve the performance of the solutions, and super entertaining as well. So really cool jump on that one. So these are really good videos as well. And this one is from Mark D'Anderson. I didn't read this beforehand, did you?
No, I haven't. I saw it. And I had some other things on my list that I had to do first. So I was like, I will go through it.
Yeah. Now, what does brittle actually mean? Because that's not an international English.
Fragile?
Is it fragile? Okay.
I think so.
Okay. So just making sure that the audience actually gets this as well. So dear Microsoft Site Designers, good for good information architecture to fragile or brittle. And this is basically explaining the challenges what he's been having on the site designs and possible, let's say, challenges comparing on having a centralized way of synchronizing things. Maybe the project Cortex will introduce some centralized management here. We're looking into having improvements on the content type synchronization in the future as well. The old content type hub challenge was that as part of the creation of site collection, the content type hub site content types are not getting replicated. They are replicated using a server side timer job. And that then meant that during the time of the site creation, you cannot reference your centralized content types. And that's really icky. So, and it might actually take a while until the content types are getting replicated. So that's really the challenge here.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, like, because of how the product was built in the past,
yeah,
and we carry that still on, how many intricacies there are involved with how we do things nowadays.
On the site designs and the replication, I think everybody in the Microsoft side, we understand the challenge in here. We need to figure out how do we replicate the content types efficiently across multiple different options. And site designs and site scripts is one way of doing that, so you're able to do that. But then how do you, if you need to maintain those, if you modify the content types afterwards, how do you re-replicate those content types across all of the sites? And I think that's the really the the challenge. Project Cortex and the document management side of the house, we're looking into doing improvements here as well, one step at a time.
Really cool. Curious.
The final one from David as well. David was busy on the last moments of a week, and there wasn't actually that much happening from a community side because everybody is in the conferences or whatever.
Exactly.
But there was a community close up released. I know that this was recorded slightly earlier with April Dunham, and in this close up, April actually spilled the beans that she is heading to Microsoft.
Woo-hoo.
Another MVP who's actually doing that. So being an MVP absolutely is a one way of getting to work in Microsoft as well, because we in Microsoft, we value the open source and community side of ties. So it might be something that people want to do. It's not given that will happen, but it gives more visibility on anybody who's, it's better to be active in the community and then ask on being an interested in moving to Microsoft rather than being not known. So makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess like in the end, it depends like what kind of role you want to get. Because if you will be a sales person, I mean, it's different job basically.
True.
Right. So, but yeah, if you get a chance to get to become a partner architect or customer facing role, well, I mean, the credentials you have might help you get the network, get the answers, and so forth and so on. So definitely a good start. Plus, it's easier to prove your accomplishments.
True. Well, we have good examples like Mikael Svensson, who's been for years being active on the search side of the house, and now he came to be a PM in the search team. So
yeah, I mean, there's only two more folks who have been involved that long with search that I know, and I think Jeff Fried is one of them, and didn't he work originally with Fast?
He might have. I don't remember. Unfortunately.
And Agnes, right? So there's just a handful of them who were really passionate for years about search.
Yep, absolutely.
So, at times it makes perfect sense. Like if you really want to have someone who is who has experience over the course of years.
Yep.
Like sometimes the community is the answer.
Absolutely. And Melissa isn't the only one. April isn't the only one. Melissa Hubbard actually this week or last week said that she's moving as well. Yusa Roine, who's in the Azure side of the house nowadays, but quite well known in the SharePoint side of the house as well, is moving to Microsoft as well. So there's a lot of people, again, moving to Microsoft one step at a time.
There is another shift going on.
Yes, exactly.
It's like every few years, there is this shift where people move, and then they stay for a while, and then there's another.
That's perfectly normal. So that these things do happen. But yeah, good discussion with Melissa. With April. Wow. And I really like the community close-ups. There's an interview with me as well where we talk about the non-technical stuff. That's actually one of the key objective of the community close-up. So it's not really around the fact that it's about technology and IT. It's about other stuff as well. So what people do.
So who is Vesa Juvonen?
Something like that.
Some say.
Yes. I'm going to stop the recording. Cool. What's your plans for this week?
For this week, I will have quite some work to coordinate because, as I said, we are rethinking what we can do for SPFX and SPCAF. So I want to breathe some more air in that back again, meaning making new plans, coordinating new plans, getting devs to work on that. So that is in progress. I have some things of which I'm experimenting as well. Like, could we, for example, use SPCAF to help us validate PRs for CLI? CLI being a Node.js apps.
Yeah.
Right. So we also think about that. Like, could we put it to a different use as well? And how would that tie to CI, CD, the whole PRs, and so forth and so on? So we think about that. So I'm doing some experiments about that. We will have new release of CLI with new features. So altogether, busy days.
Yeah, On my side of the house, we're finalizing the 1.10 release on SharePoint Framework. It's mainly now making sure that the documentation is in up to date. Then I'll be dropping by in Paris for Wednesday morning and then flying back on Wednesday evening. Well, actually flying in on Tuesday, but tomorrow, Tuesday, yes. Depending on when you're watching this. That's what it is. We're recording this on 9th of December, 2019. If you're watching this in 2025, it's not tomorrow.
Maybe there is another event in Paris tomorrow.
You never know. That is true. But yeah, dropping there quickly. Unfortunately, there's a public strike actually in Paris, which might make things interesting, but we'll see how it works. So, okay. But busy week. I'm really waiting for the conference season to end. This is my last conference of the year. So then I can actually concentrate again on work, because there's interesting stuff to be done as well. But I think that's it for now. So thank you, Waldeck. Next time we should have our mystery guests who we missed this week, potentially next Monday. So we'll see how it goes. But
fingers crossed.
Yes. Same bad channel, same bad whatever. Stay. Time, whatever, I don't know. We'll come up with a new SharePoint of Weekly in a week. Later. Bye-bye.
Bye.